Woohoo, good morning, everyone. I am so nervous and so excited. trying the digital notes here. It'll be interesting. We're gonna go for it. Yeah, God just has some words. He wants to speak life over you today. And I'm so excited to work on this and just to be able to share this with you today. So, Lord, go with us. Lord, go behind us, all around us. We thank you for your strength and it's in your Holy Spirit. We love you, God. Anyone in the room know the story of Balaam's donkey? Got any kids who know that one? That's a fun one. No? Maybe fewer than I thought? Really? All right. Balaam was a prophet in the Old Testament around the time. You guys know who Moses is, right? We know Moses? Okay. Awesome. Good. So Moses was coming out of Egypt with the Israelites. They walked through the Red Sea, 10 plagues. They're in the desert. Balaam was a prophet alive at this time, and he was not an Israelite. He was part of a pagan country. He did not worship God, but he did know God. All right, so the story of Balaam's donkey is not what we're talking about today, but we're going to start there. Balaam's like riding on his donkey, right, off to go somewhere. And he keeps getting mad at the donkey because the donkey keeps stopping. The donkey lies down, donkey walks off the road, donkey squishes his leg against a wall. Gets pretty mad, understandably. And this happens like 3 or 4 times, and eventually the donkey is so fed up, she looks around and yells at Balaam and is like, "Why do you keep hitting me, bro? Can't you see the 8-foot-tall angel with a flaming sword in our path?" And Balaam's like, "Oh no, I couldn't see that." The Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he does see. There's an angel in the path blocking his way, because Balaam needed a reminder that where he was going, he needed to be very mindful of what God was going to say to him and what he needed to do. So that's the story of Balaam's donkey. We're going to talk about where Balaam was actually going on the donkey, though. Balaam's not always a great role model. There's a number of accounts of him in the Bible, but today we're going to look at him in a positive light, of being someone who did partner with God, who took God's warning, saw the angel, listened to God, and was able to step into partnership with God. You guys ever think of yourself as a partner of God? Is that something you guys think about? It was really fun to dwell on that the past few weeks, but we're going to look at Balaam just as an example of this. We're going to jump right in. We've got a lot of scripture today, so bear with me. We're going to be reading a lot, but it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So he's on the donkey. The reason he's on the donkey is because there's this pagan king in the area, right? And this guy is getting really nervous. This crowd of millions of people just decimated Egypt, walked across an ocean, drowned an army, and now they're living in the desert next door. Understandably pretty terrifying. And so this king, Balak, says, "Nothing physical has been able to stop. No army has stood in the Israelites' way. I need to turn to something spiritual." So he goes to Balaam and says, "I want you to go curse Israel for me. I want you to put a curse over them so that they cannot take my land." And Balaam from the beginning is like, "Hold up, I'll go with you," after a number of discussions, "but I can only say what God tells me to." And that's where our story begins. He's on the donkey, he saw the angel, they go to a mountain, they're overlooking Israel, this massive camp. This is from Numbers 23 if you want to follow along in your own Bible. It's also going to be on the screen, so we're gonna start here. "And Balaam said to Balak, 'Build for me here 7 altars, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams.' And Balak did as Balaam had said. And Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, 'Stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you.' And he went to a bare height, and God met Balaam. And Balaam said to him, 'I have arranged 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram.' And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, 'Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak.' And he returned to him, and behold, he and all the princes of Moab were standing beside his burnt offering. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, 'From Aram, Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? From the top of the crags I see him. From the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth of the part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them. And he answered and said, must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? So that wasn't quite what Balak was looking for, huh? Balaam goes, listens to God, ends up blessing Israel. So Balak's like, all right, we'll try again. They go over to a different mountain. He's like, all right, maybe from here you can look over, see a different part of them. Maybe you'll get a curse this time. So they build more altars, sacrifice more animals, do the same thing over and over again. And Balaam goes to look for a word, and the story picks up again. And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said, what has the Lord spoken? More hopeful this time, perhaps. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, rise, Balak, and hear, give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt and is for them like the horns of a wild ox, or if you read the King James Version, unicorn. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? Behold, a people. As a lioness rises up, and a lion itself, it lifts itself up. It does not lie down until it has devoured the prey and drunk the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, don't curse them at all, and don't bless them at all. But Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell you all the Lord says, that I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. Who clearly wasn't listening, because Balaam just said, God doesn't change his mind. Doesn't matter what mountain you're looking down from, what God has spoken, that's what we declare. And that's the first point today. When we talk about the idea of blessing, blessing is declaring the words that God has already spoken. God spoke all of creation into existence. He orders and sustains creation even now. The entire universe, our world, our light, our life is all sustained and was always created through God's own words. And there are things that he has spoken about his people. He's spoken about me and you. He spoke about the Israelites. As Balaam was saying, like, he has blessed and I cannot revoke it. This is what God has spoken already. Now, Balaam chooses to go listen to God and says, I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to re-declare that. Because God doesn't change his mind. So what he's spoken before is what he is in his heart. It's what he's speaking now. All right, and that's where our partnership with God begins, is listening. What has God spoken? What is he speaking? And how can I agree with that? I tried really hard not to take this lesson too science-y, because that's what I love. But I had to throw in an illustration here. When you think about sound waves, right? So when we speak, there are sound waves, vibrations moving through the air, right? Sound waves can interfere with each other, and they can do it in two ways. They can either constructively interfere, where they add up an increase in volume, or they destructively interfere, where they cancel out. When we speak blessings over others, over ourselves, even to God, we are constructively interfering with the words that God's already spoken. The words are already out there. God's already said them. But when we choose to say the same thing in unison, in harmony, in accord with God, we can amplify their effects, amplify their power in our lives, in the world around us, in the lives of others. And so that's what Balaam teaches us about blessing, is that he takes only what God has said. Must I take care not to speak anything that God didn't tell me to? When we match God's words, we can amplify his power. All right. On with the story. It's not going well for Balak. Balaam is only listening to what God says. Despite this king's pressure, he's only speaking the words of God. He's only speaking blessing, diving into what God has already spoken. Little does Balak know that Balaam and God are only getting started. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to look for omens. But he set his face towards the wilderness, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. I find it interesting, my first thought when I read, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, you almost feel like, oh, God likes this, I'm going to do it to get on God's good side. And you could take it that way, but I don't think that's what was happening here. Because the very next verse says, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the visions of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered. The Spirit of God filled him. He saw the Lord, and the result was blessing. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. Like palm groves that stretch afar and gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, and is for him like the horns of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and shall break their bones in pieces, and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lioness. Who will rise him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. Balaam didn't have to go look for omens this time. He knew what God wanted. He knew what brought God pleasure. He knew what God had already spoken. So he didn't have to go look for signs. He didn't have to go listen carefully, because he already knew. He'd already spent time getting to know the heart of God in the past two prophecies, the past two blessings. This time, he just set himself forward and said, God, I'm going to do what pleases you. Holy Spirit, fill me. And that's the second point. Blessing is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he blesses us with gifts, with his power, with his presence. And from that, all we do is bless others. When you're full of something, the only thing that can spill out is that thing. So when we're full of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring is the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So we can do the same thing in our own lives. Just like Balaam spent time seeking God, we can spend time seeking his words. We can spend time in scripture, spend time with others, and dive into, like, God, what does please you? Where do I need to go? What do I need to pursue? And then eventually, it just becomes so natural. We don't even need to think about it. We don't need to look for it. Because his heart is what our goal is, to align with his heart. And then we can step out into that and step out into that opportunity. When you hang out in that place, the Holy Spirit is able to come fill you. You allow yourself to be filled and to watch the outpouring, to watch the blessings that come out. So now three times Balaam has listened to God and blessed the people of Israel. Balak's definitely pretty fed up at this point, and he says, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee to your own place. I said, I will certainly honor you, but the Lord has held you back from honor. And Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell your messengers whom you sent to me? If Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the word of the Lord and to do either good or bad of my own will. What the Lord speaks, that I will speak. At this point, Balaam, he knows where his priorities and therefore where his permission and authority lie. He's living in partnership with God, and so he knows that as long as he's in that partnership, he has permission to do what God says. He has authority to do what God says. And now, for the fourth time, of his own accord, he goes against what King Balak wants. He goes against the world, fully committed to what pleases God, And he blesses Israel a fourth time. And now, behold, I am going to my people. Come, I will let you know what this people, Israel, will do to King Balak's people in the latter days. And he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with eyes uncovered. I see him now, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed. Seir also, his enemies shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly. And one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of cities. I feel like you go way into that, just the prophecy of King David and ultimately Jesus. But the point here is that blessing out of the Holy Spirit, declaring the words of God, blessing is countercultural. We don't experience blessing in our society and in our world enough. And it's not natural for the world. It's not natural for the prince of this world. Satan wants to separate us from the life of God. But in the Holy Spirit, we can reconnect with that. Just like Balaam decided to be different, we are set apart. We are set apart from what the world does. The things they do are not what we should do. And all of this, of course, has to hinge on what Jesus did. All right, before, think about what we were. Like sinners, like wandering with no hope. But I want to go back to Numbers 23 and 24. And it will be said, what has God wrought? Behold, a people. He brought the Israelites out of, like, nothing. Out of one man and his wife, Abraham and Sarah. Millions of people now in the desert. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt, one of the most powerful nations at the time, and set them up as his own people. And he's done the same for us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God brought us out of our sin, out of our not a peopleness, and made us a body, made us partners with him to glorify him. He redeemed us because he loved us. He wanted to be with us. But in his redeeming us, he gave us a purpose. He gave us this ministry. He gave us authority and permission to take the blessing we've received. We've been called as a people now to give that back. We have permission to spread his blessing in our own lives, in the world around us. Jesus says in Matthew 16, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus gave us this authority here. He gave us the authority to speak life. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. The words you speak, choosing to agree or to disagree with God, have power. And it's all because of what we have received. God did speak blessing over us. His words do have power. He spoke everything into existence. But he's also offered us this opportunity to make his words more powerful. He's given us these things and says, here, take this and amplify it in the world around you. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. If Jesus gave it to you, don't you think you have permission to use it? If he gave us this authority, if he told us, Go announce the kingdom of heaven. Raise the sick. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. I gave you these things for free. Totally for free. Don't you think we should go give them for free as well? Just as the rising kingdom of Israel was standing before Balaam in the desert, he's seeing this nation being born. So the kingdom of God is at hand in our lives. What kind of response does that demand? One of Balaam, where we see this and we listen to God and we say, we're going to proclaim blessing over it. We're going to speak into it. We're going to speak life. We live in a world where the curse does still have residual effect. Jesus did defeat the curse of sin and death, but it's still present in our world. People can still choose. We still have free will. And we can either accept the terms of the curse or we can accept the terms of the blessing. Right? Since Adam, we've been under the curse as humanity. And the curse simply means taking life on our own terms. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden when they took the fruit. They said, we want life and knowledge on our own terms. And that brought a curse because it separated them from the life of God. The blessing is given back to us in Jesus. We take life on, or we receive life on his terms. And so people can still choose that. You can still choose to either accept the punishment of life on your own terms, because when you take it on your own terms, you're the only one responsible. Or you can take it on Jesus' terms, where he took the punishment for you. So when we choose to accept that blessing of Christ, we choose life on his terms. Of course, that means a number of things. It means we're living in response to him. We're only declaring the words he's spoken. We're only letting his spirit fill us, doing what pleases him. We're going against culture, against what the world would say, to speak what he wants. He took the punishment on himself for us, paid it in full, nailed it to the cross, defeated death, and God raised him up, releasing favor and authority over anyone who would call on his name. In his name, we are made whole and we are given power. So we may encounter words of death and cursing in our own lives. People may speak evil over you. People may speak curses over you. But we know that the life of God has overcome them. And you can express that victory, the very same victory of Jesus, in your own words. Choose to agree with it. Choose to agree with the victory of God and speak that. Speak it aloud. Speak it out. Agree with God, what God has already said, what he's already set in motion, and amplify it. So as I said at the beginning, Balaam isn't always the best role model. He goes on to do some questionable things. But in this story, he's just a beautiful example of how to partner with God in blessing by declaring the words of God, listening to God, listening to his words, to his scripture, to his people, stepping into what pleases God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so, to speak blessing regardless of what those around you are speaking. Remember this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Anything you say canon will be used against you in a court of law. but anything you say does carry power, does carry weight, just because you're an image bearer of God and you spoke it. And you can agree with God or you can disagree. We're going to go into just some closing time, and I want you to think about this. We're going to have the prayer team, and they will be here for you, especially if you want to receive the blessing of Christ for the first time. If you've been living under the terms of the curse, if you've been choosing to take life on your own terms, know that when you do that, the punishment is on you. But Jesus made a way to live under blessing, to live under life. So especially if you want to receive that blessing for the first time, to receive life on the terms of Christ, prayer team, I guess you guys can definitely start to make your way up as you want. Come see one of these people. They are just filled with the Spirit, ready to pray over you, ready to bless you, to help you find the life of God. Otherwise, though, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You have been redeemed and have been given permission to speak life over others. It's no coincidence that we are called partners here at this church instead of members. We are partners with God and partners with each other. And when we're partners, we give each other permission to speak life over us. So the prayer team's here. Maybe we can put some quiet music on. But I just want you to find someone near you. Parents, we have children in the room today. Let's make this a generational thing. Bless the children. Bless your children. I can't even begin to say how much of an impact it's made that every night growing up, my dad would pray a blessing over me. And it would come, we're going to go there just a second. It comes from Numbers. But it's so powerful for parents to bless their children. Friends, bless each other. Find someone near you who looks like they need life and know that you have the authority to speak it over them. You have the authority to partner with God and do that. So let's pass this along intentionally, generationally, in the power of God. From number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's take some time to listen to God, partner with him, speak life over those around you, think about who you need to speak life over in your own lives. Let's step into what pleases God, step into partnership with him. It's going to be uncomfortable, but go ahead and just start speaking life.
All right. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You all have done really well, done really good, being really comfortable talking to the person you're married to or the person that you came with. So I'm going to ask everyone to turn around, find a person in the row that you might not know as well, and just bless them. Because if we can't do it in this room, there is no way on God's beautiful green earth you're going to bless anybody outside of this place, because they're going to be antagonistic and they're going to be like Balak. I'm telling you to say something else. So I'm going to just ask, encourage, turn around, find someone you don't know and just bless them because God made them special and loves them. Amplify the sound that God has spoken over their life by just blessing them. And if you're not sure what to say, just pray that. Go for it. Find somebody new. around, bless somebody.